Thank you. Please be seated. Welcome to the mid-year commencement ceremony, especially to those of you receiving degrees. This ceremony includes those students who graduated in August 2008, as well as those students who will receive their degrees today. We welcome 2,304 graduates. (clears throat) 1,147 undergraduates, 765 master's students, 252 doctoral graduates, and 140 professional students. This is your day. All of us join you in this traditional celebration of academic achievement. To lead us in the singing of our national anthem, I am pleased to introduce Joanna Rushi, a candidate for the Bachelor of Music degree in May 2009. Please stand and join in the singing. Joining me on the platform today are a number of distinguished people, and it is my pleasure to introduce them. I will ask them to stand and remain standing. I ask the audience to please hold your applause until I have recognized everyone. Dr. Bernadette Gray Little, Executive Vice Chancellor and Provost. Dr. Peggy Jablonski, Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs. Professor Joseph Templeton, Professor of Chemistry and Chair of our Distinguished Faculty. Professor Joseph Farrell, the Secretary of the Faculty. Cindy Spurlock, President of the Graduate and Professional Student Federation. It is also my pleasure to recognize Professor Trudier Harris, Faculty Marshal. Thank you for your presence here today. Now I am pleased to introduce Ms. Hannah Gage, Chair of the UNC Board of Governors, who will bring greetings on behalf of the board.
It's a pleasure to bring greetings from the University of North Carolina Board of Governors today. Much of your life in the past few years has been focused on this day. I hope you'll take the time and really be in the moment. Make sure you thank the people who have given you support along the way, because no one arrives at this point without the help of someone. As you spread out across the globe, equipped with a world-class education, remember this: you are the best advertising this institution will ever have. You're better than billboards, you're better than radio, you're more valuable to us than a 60-second commercial in the Super Bowl. Because wherever you go and whatever you do, in some way, you will always be representing Carolina. We're counting on you not only to make us proud, but also to spread the word that this is the best public institution in this country. Now, I've got a little real-world advice. As of today, the rules have changed. It will matter less from this point on who graduated at the very, very top of the class, or who was the slacker who barely squeaked by with a 2-0 and only found out a few days ago that he or she would actually be graduating. The rules have changed. The slacker in the back of the room could very well end up being your boss. That's how the real world works. What matters now is not just what you learned at this magnificent university. It's how well you have learned to really think, to think critically in a cognitive age. It will also matter if you are a me person or a we person. Finally, I urge you not to stand on the sidelines of your life. Get involved. It's so easy and sometimes more comfortable to hide in the margins. But this is your one and only life. And the more engaged you are in every part of it, the richer your life will be. Most commencement remarks end by encouraging graduates to go forth and be successful. I suggest that you seek to be significant rather than just successful. Significance will last. This state invested in your education because it believes we all benefit from educated people who live lives of purpose. You protect North Carolina's investment by being involved in the world. So throw yourself in head first. Arm yourself with these three things, and it's a tight job market, and so if you don't remember anything, remember this. Take with you a good attitude, a strong work ethic, and the ability to suffer fools gladly. There are a lot of fools in the world. You're smart, you're educated, and the world is waiting for answers to so many problems. As Eve Carson's father said, you've got miles to go and missions to keep, and we will be so much better for your undaunted perseverance. Congratulations.
Thank you, Hannah. I'm now pleased to introduce the chair of the Board of Trustees of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Roger Perry of Chapel Hill, who will bring greetings.
On behalf of the Board of Trustees, I'm delighted to welcome you today to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. My sons both graduated from Carolina in 2000 and 2003, and my oldest son from the MBA school in 2006. So I know that I speak for every parent and family member attending this ceremony when I say how proud we are of all of you, our students. During your years at Carolina, you've seen this campus physically transformed. It's been the greatest construction period in the history of the university. Thanks to the North Carolinians who voted to fund the 2000 higher education bond funds and the private donors whose gifts added to these funds, we've completed more than 100 renovations and new buildings, adding almost 6 million square feet of residence halls, classrooms, laboratories, medical, and student facilities to our campus. We've also transformed our thinking about the physical campus. We now focus more than ever on conservation, ecological integrity, and sustainability. And that, in many ways, is thanks to you, our students, in part for that, as you've expressed interest in those issues and held us accountable. There's also been an intellectual transformation to better prepare our students to serve the people of the state and to thrive in a new century in a world increasingly defined by global networks. The world that you are entering with your Carolina degree is a global one, and I know you have been prepared for it. You've participated in study abroad and international programs more than your predecessors. You've learned about other people, and you've helped others here at home and across the world. You've built houses, you've taught reading, you've served meals at homeless shelters, and worked in free medical and dental clinics. My message to you today is, you cannot stop. Public service is not a luxury. It's a basic requirement of good citizenship for all of us. Now more than ever, while you're starting careers and families or pursuing further studies, you must continue to make time for others. At Carolina, your public service taught you values for all of your life. After you leave Carolina, as you continue to serve, you can teach those values as well to others. Today, you'll receive the most prized treasure of this great university. That treasure is a diploma. You've worked hard to earn it, but it is a treasure of opportunity nonetheless. With this gift of opportunity comes the obligation of responsibility. Our university founders believe that an educated person is a public asset, and that is why the people of North Carolina have continued to underwrite your studies. They've helped you in the expectation that you will benefit society here in North Carolina and in the world. So, I challenge each of you to go out and prove our founders right. I know you can, and I know you will. And as fellow Tar Heels, we will always be proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Roger. I'm now pleased to introduce the chair of the Board of Directors of the General Alumni Association, Randy Jones of Chula Vista, California, who will bring greetings. Mr. Jones represents more than 266,302 living alumni of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Good afternoon. On behalf of the General Alumni Association, I wanted to congratulate each one of you on your accomplishments. After years of hard work, countless anxious moments, bottomless cups of coffee, and numerous cans of energy drinks, you have earned your degree from Carolina. You, your family, and your friends can be justifiably proud. Now you join the largest and only permanent part of our Carolina family. You are now among over 260,000 Carolina alumni. The General Alumni Association is the official organization for all former Carolina students. The GAA will keep you informed about and connected to your university, your classmates, your local Carolina clubs events, and other alumni activities through our award-winning bi-monthly issues of the Carolina Alumni Review. As our newest alumni, you will be particularly interested in our alumni career services, programs, and opportunities to network. In the coming years, you will come to realize, as many of us have realized, that you were a Carolina student for just a few short years, but you will always be a Carolina alumnus. Don't drop out now. Let the GAA help you take Carolina with you wherever you call home. And one final request, wherever you may move and whenever you may move, change jobs, get married, have children, please be sure to share this news with your alumni association. Again, on behalf of the General Alumni Association, I say congratulations to you and heart the sound. Thank you.
Each year, an outstanding member of our faculty is selected to speak at mid-year commencement. I welcome Mr. James Shelley, Senior Class President, to introduce this year's commencement speaker.
Thank you, Chancellor. Graduates, families, friends, and faculty, I hope you all join me in giving a warm welcome to today's commencement speaker, Dr. Valerie Ashby. Dr. Ashby serves as the Gordon and Bowman Gray Distinguished Term Professor in the university's chemistry department. Many of you science majors may recognize her from your years as underclassmen. She teaches introductory and organic chemistry to bushy-tailed youngsters at 8 a.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. This fact alone should prove the depths of her passion for her chosen vocation. But for those still unconvinced, allow me to list some of the achievements on her resume. Her research on the design and synthesis of polymeric biomaterials has led to 10 patents and collaborations with DuPont and Chevron Phillips. In 2002, she was named one of the top 12 young female chemists in the country by the American Chemical Society. Dr. Ashby's excellence, though, is not confined to the laboratory. She is also a gifted educator. At Iowa State, where she taught from 1996 to 2003, she was named Teacher of the Year in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. And just this year, she received UNC's Citizen Award for Excellence in Freshman Teaching. Perhaps most tellingly of all, Dr. Ashby is described by fellow Carolina alumnus and scientific whiz, our own Chancellor Holden Thorpe, as an inspirational colleague and mentor, and a leader in biomaterials research. Highly regarded by her students and colleagues alike, Valerie Ashby is among our best teachers in the classroom and the lab. We are so privileged to have Dr. Ashby here to speak to us. Her uncommon intelligence and her ability to engage others ensures that her message today will be of great benefit to those of us who begin a new stage in life's great journey. Fellow Tar Heels, please help me welcome Dr. Valerie Ashby.
Thank you, James, for that introduction. To the graduates, parents, families, friends, and distinguished guests, for those of you out there in that beautiful Carolina blue who have been my students, I'm sure you're wondering, how can she possibly talk without chalk and a board and stop before 1 hour and 15 minutes? But I am sure you'll be happy to know that I will not be talking about chemical reactions as much as I love the topic, nor will I be giving my usual hour-long lecture. As I stand here and I think of all that you have accomplished to reach this point, I consider it a great honor and a true privilege for me to speak to you on this, your special day. I have had the experience of being at graduation as a student twice at UNC, the first of which was 20 years ago. But when asked which one was more memorable, I knew that answer. It was Mother's Day, 1994, when I received my PhD in Keenan Stadium. After my name was called, I heard the usual polite applause, and as I was leaving the stage, I looked up, and to my surprise, there she was, my mother. She was the only person on the football field not wearing a robe. I can tell there are some mothers in the audience. With a determined gait, she passed security, barriers, and rope. And I'm still not quite sure what she told them, but she was coming across midfield in Keenan Stadium to congratulate me. And so I appreciate and I do understand the joy and pride that your families and friends feel today, and I would like to take this moment for all of us to acknowledge and to congratulate them. So I'll begin today by saying to the graduates, you have received an awesome gift. When we reflect just for a moment on a few of the circumstances in which people find themselves all over this world, we stop and we ask ourselves, how is it that we have had this opportunity to spend our days and our nights struggling with concepts and ideas and theories and producing music and performances. How is it that we are able to create knowledge and to explore new territories in thinking without the cost being too great to bear? Where is that place that is so privileged? It is right here. And as I told my students one morning, you don't actually have to go to a remote corner in the world to see that we are indeed privileged. And yet, it's so easy to lose sight of it. But just walk to the edge of Franklin Street and you'll see newly homeless families, or consider the children in our community and across this country who do not have access to an excellent education, and if they had the access, would not have the support to make a UNC experience a reality. And it becomes really clear that wearing these Carolina blue robes today, this is a gift. And what I appreciate and love about students at this university is that you get it. You get that when we receive a gift like this, as Chairman Perry said earlier, the response is service. Service to each other, service to our families, service to our communities, the communities, the nation, and the world. Now, before we just go out to save the world, for those of you who are my students, you know, allow me to just share a few thoughts that I have gathered from wise people over the years regarding effective service. And the first is just a bit of a reality check, and that is, enthusiasm is no substitute for preparation. And this is why the achievements marked by the receipt of your degrees today are so significant and so commendable. Now, I know you may have thought that some of your professors received some type of peculiar pleasure from seeing you being pushed to your intellectual limits. I remember laughing one afternoon as I sat in my office and I heard students pass by my door as they discussed organic chemistry, and one student said, "Yeah, I have Ashby. Did you see that first exam? She's insane." So when you felt like you were pushed to your limit and wondered if your professors had lost touch with reality, the answer was, maybe, sometimes. But our service to every student who enters this university is to challenge you to exercise your intellectual muscles. We know that you have the enthusiasm and that you are smart coming in the door. But we also realize how important putting in the time to build mental discipline through a rigorous intellectual approach is. We know that when you do this, all of your efforts that follow, service and otherwise, will be more effective, more well-organized, more forward-thinking, and forward-moving. So I congratulate you on stepping up and accepting the many challenges that were presented to you. You know it's hard to beat enthusiasm that comes with preparation. And that brings me to point number two. Authenticity is essential for service that inspires. I have discovered that there are few things that inspire like people who act from a place of genuineness, knowing who they are and being true to themselves. Now that may sound easy, but when pushed and pulled in a variety of directions, or when a host of wonderful opportunities are presented to you, and they will be, or when some activities have more visibility and recognition, but less meaning to you, it may take a conscious decision and a little courage to remain true to who you are and to what is important to you. So how will you do it? Well, in those moments, I reflect. I reflect on my mother, that same lady who walked across Keenan Stadium, a dynamic English teacher who, as I was growing up, would find great joy reciting and discussing Robert Frost and Shakespeare regularly. I remember my father, who was an equally passionate science and mathematics teacher and minister. With their examples of commitment to who they were and what they loved, I arrived at UNC as a naive 17-year-old in the midst of the Who Shot JR 1980s. Now, students have no clue. You can just refer to your parents when this is over. Check with them on who JR was, okay? Here I met people whose service to the university was made more powerful by their authenticity. Their names and faces I can never forget, like Dean Hayden Renwick, one of the most outspoken champions for students that I have ever known. Like Professors Murray and Eliel and Little, accomplished, renowned scientists who were just as committed to performing the service of teaching. The service of teaching a room full of 17, 18, and 19-year-olds, much like me. I was fortunate to be here during the time of Dr. Sonia Haynes Stone, the professor for whom our Center for Black Culture and History is named, and a compelling presence and powerful example of the true service that comes out of being authentic. And I remember, like it was yesterday, Professor Henry Frierson telling me when I was a still uncertain senior, "You're not a medical student. You're a scientist and a teacher, and you want to direct your own research program, so you're going to need a PhD. And if I ever lose sight of the importance of investing time in the training of students, I'll remember a young Joseph DeSimone, my PhD advisor, who would drink coffee with me at 6:30 in the morning in his office in the basement of the beloved Venable Hall. And when the roof wasn't leaking, he would teach me not only how to think about synthetic polymer chemistry, but also show me how to navigate graduate school, the first year of which for me was difficult. So I tell you of these people because I am confident that you too have gathered a book of your own stories, much like these, that will be there in times of decision to help keep you grounded. Reflections of people who you met along the way, who know who they are, who are committed to what they do, who helped you to see who you could be, and who in their unique, authentic ways were of tremendous service. And so as you walk out of this experience, certainly a more informed person than the one who sang, "In my mind, I'm going to Carolina," at convocation, ask yourselves, where am I now uniquely suited for service? If that answer is still evolving for you, keep asking questions. What injustice makes you stand on your soapbox? What great need is there for which you have a creative idea? What great divide can your skills help to bridge? With which people do you identify or have great compassion? That will be the topic, there will be the place, and those will be the people. And the beauty of living is that today it could be greening the earth, or world hunger and poverty, or adult education and literacy, and years down the road, it can be something completely different to which you are just as committed. What I know is that when you find it, and when your gifts and talents are uniquely suited for it, and when you are not just enthusiastic but prepared and deeply committed to it, like the people that I mentioned and the people in your own book of reflection, you will have the power to inspire. Now, in all of the good feeling that can be generated when we talk about service, we arrive at point number 3, and that is service often requires a sacrifice. It's been said that nothing is impossible for the man who doesn't have to do it himself. A recent example for me of the willingness to sacrifice is one of my former students who graduated in May. His passion is global health equity, However, before pursuing a graduate degree in public health, he decided to go and serve in the Peace Corps and was assigned to Togo, West Africa. His project is one in which he will implement a youth health education program for a village. In our recent conversation, he described his difficult living conditions. Yet he ended the conversation by saying that when he met the children in that village, it made the living conditions so worth it. Imagine the difference that his sacrifice will make to those youth. Then imagine the effect of what he will learn from them as he further prepares himself in his public health graduate studies. And somehow we're right back where we started with preparation. And so let's see. Number one, enthusiasm and preparation. Number two, authenticity and inspiration. Number three, service and sacrifice. And so as I close, my challenge to you is to remember that impact is always more than what you can see and may not be immediate. So take heart when asked, how much of an effect could one person's service really have? Just remember, you will not be acting singularly. You will be acting in concert with the more than 200,000 UNC graduates who live in more than 140 countries around the world. And be encouraged when asked, where could your service within a small community possibly lead? After all, maybe it's possible that your service might be like that of a community organizer. Freshly graduated from Columbia University, who at the age of 24 used his gifts and talents to change the lives of just a few around him in a Southside Chicago inner city neighborhood, never imagining that those efforts might lead him to a place where he could influence millions, not just in this country, but around the world. Again, my sincere congratulations to each one of you, and we look forward to all of the ways that you will make this university proud and the world a better place. Congratulations.
Thank you, Valerie. I have the privilege of introducing, we now turn to the conferral of degrees. I have the privilege of introducing the Dean of the Graduate School, Dr. Steve Mattson, who will present the candidates for the doctoral degree.